The following is tape number 12 on the Nectar of Devotion series, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded between October 20th and November 14th, 1972, in Vrindavan, India.
The permanent jagat is the spiritual world. Parastasmastu bhava anya. There is another spiritual world, that is sanatan, that is permanent. This world is not permanent. So, even though it is not permanent, it can be utilized for the service of the Lord. Nirbandhi Krishna Sambandhi Jukta Vairagyam Uccha. That is our philosophy. We don't take the jagat as mithya. We take it as fact, because it is emanation from the supreme fact. So, just like gold earring is also gold, that is not iron. Similarly, this material world is made of the external energy of Krishna. Therefore, we do not find anything here wrong. We try to dovetail everything in the service of Krishna, because it is Krishna's. Just like one's property must be enjoyed by the proprietor. Krishna says that Bhoktaram Jagvatam Sam Sarvaloka Maheshwara. He is the proprietor of this world. Therefore, everything dovetails in his service for his satisfaction. That is devotional service. That is the professional stage of serving Krishna. So we don't take the world as mithya. Therefore, those who are impersonalists, they think that they have become liberated. Actually, they are not liberated. The Bhagavad says, vimukta manina. Jannera bindaktha vimukta manina. They are thinking like that. Actually, their intelligence is not yet completely purified. Avishuddha buddha. Arujya krichena parang padanta. So, even Brahma Sukha is happiness derived from realization of Brahma is not perfect. And that is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Na sochati na kankati samas sarvesu bhutesu mad bhakti labhate para. That Brahma Bhuta state is a preliminary qualification to enter into devotional service. But if one does not enter into devotional service, anadita jusmat angha, neglects the lotus feet of Krishna, then patanti adha. These are the statements, authoritative statements. Thank you very much.
Happiness in Krishna consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has analyzed the different sources of happiness. He has divided happiness into three categories, which are: 1. Happiness derived from material enjoyment. 2. Happiness derived by identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman. And 3. Happiness derived from Krishna consciousness. In the Tantra Shastra, Lord Shiva speaks to his wife, Sati, in this way, quote, "My dear wife, a person who has surrendered himself at the lotus feet of Govinda and who has thus developed pure Krishna consciousness can be very easily awarded all the perfections desired by the impersonalist. And beyond this, he can enjoy the happiness achieved by the pure devotee." Unquote. Happiness derived from pure devotional service is the highest because it is eternal. But the happiness derived from material perfection or understanding oneself to be Brahman is inferior because it is temporary. There is no preventing one's falling down from material happiness, and there is even every chance of falling down from the spiritual happiness derived out of identifying oneself with the impersonal Brahman.
So this we have explained last time, how a person enjoying happiness as Brahma realization. There are many examples, both in the East and the West, that in our Eastern countries, the Mayavadi philosophy is very prominent, and their basic principle is Brahma Satya Javan Mitha. The world is false and Brahma, that is true. But we have practically seen many sannyasis, they renounce this world as mitha and take to Brahma realization path. But after some days, they come down to politics, sociology, philanthropy. Why? If Brahma is satya, Jagat is mithya, false, then why they, from the platform of satya, they fall down again in the mithya? This is our question. To open hospital, or to open a school, or similar philanthropy activities, are generally being done by persons who are embarrassed with this mithya world. Why the sannyasis who left this world as mitha and went to the platform of Brahma realization, and why they come to this platform again for opening school, hospital? What is the answer? Is there any answer? That means they could not realize the happiness of Brahma. What is your opinion, Gosaiji? If they would have derived any happiness from that Brahma platform, then why they would come down to this platform which was rejected as mithya? So accepting that Brahma realization is real happiness, but they could not realize that happiness. Under the circumstances, they must come down to realize happiness in these varieties of material world. Because they found it better happiness by taking in politics and on political movements or opening a school, hospital. They found better happiness in these activities. Then why they say that this jagat mithya, these are activities of the material world. So the answer is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there such kind of Brahma realization is not fact. That Brahma realization is answered in the Srimad Bhagavatam as vimukta manina. They simply think that they have become liberated. Actually, they are not liberated. Otherwise, how they come down again to the platform of bondage? This is the answer. Jennero bindakha vimukta manina. Vimukta manina, this impersonalist, they are thinking falsely that they have become Narayan or liberated. Actually, it is not so. Why? Avishuddha buddhaya. Their intelligence is not yet purified. Because there is material attachment, that means the intelligence is still materially affected. Otherwise, how they should be materially inclined and come to the material platform? The answer is avishuddha buddha. The intelligence is not yet purified. Why it is not purified? That is also explained. Arujya kritchena parang padam. By severe austerities, penances, they follow very strictly the rules and regulation of renouncement, that is called kritcha sadhana, difficult procedure for self-realization. But despite all this endeavor, because their intelligence is not purified, they fall down. Arujya kichena parampada. They realize actually the impersonal Brahma, Nidbhed Brahmanisandha, Arujya kichena parampatanti adha. Again they fall down from that platform. Why? Anadita jusmat angha. Because they could not adore the lotus feet of Krishna. On account of their impersonal impression, they could not appreciate the transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha of Krishna and could not surrender there. Krishna therefore says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Janvan Mang Prabhadat. After many, many births of such struggle, when actually one becomes wise, Gyanavan, he surrenders and to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the perfection of knowledge. So, impersonal Brahma realization, Nirbhid Brahmanusandhan, is good attempt, but above that, if one cannot make progress, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Sabdate, the absolute truth, is realized as impersonal Brahma, then Paramatma, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So unless a wise Jnanavan, Jnani, does not reach to the platform of understanding the personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his intelligence is still not very much purified. Jannera vindakha vimakta manina tai astabhavad abhishuddha buddhaya harujya krichena parang padang tataha patanti adha anadhita jismadang. Because unless we get some shelter, we cannot stay in the impersonal feature. Just like yesterday I spoke that you may go very high on your Sputnik or your plane, but if you don't get any shelter in some planet, then you have to come back again on this planet. That is actually your experience. They are trying to go to the moon planet, but because they are not able to stay there, they come back again. First of all, whether they are actually going in the moon planet, that is also a questionable thing. Anyway, even they go there, why they are coming back again? They cannot stay there. So, unless and until we have got a stay in the Vaikuntha planets, which are situated in the Brahma effulgence, then simply in the impersonal Brahma effulgence, we cannot stay because there is no variety. Therefore, to enjoy variety, one has to come down again to this material variety. Arujya kichena parang padang tata patanti adha anadhrita jusmadang. Because we are living entities, part and parcel of the Supreme Living Entity, Parabrahma, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. So, as Sri Krishna is by nature joyful, anandamaya vyasa. Similarly, we are also joyful. We are also seeking after that joyful life. That joyful life is eternally possible when we dance with Krishna, not dance alone or dance with anyone else. So, unless we get that position, there is no actually happiness. Because a variety is the mother of enjoyment. That is an English proverb. Just like when we eat the same thing, grain and milk product, but when it is made in varieties, luchi, halwa and other things, the same, milk preparation and grain, but it is made into varieties, it becomes enjoyable. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. If I give you a lump of milk or lump of grain, that is not enjoyable. When it is made into varieties, it is enjoyable. Similarly, Brahma, manifested in varieties, that is enjoyable. That you cannot have in the impersonal Brahma. When we approach the personal Brahma, Parabrahma, that variety is available and there we can enjoy. From there we do not return. Jadgatana nivartanti, tadhama parama. So, simply impersonal Brahma realization, that happiness is not perfect. Neither these material varieties are perfect. So Brahma, Satya, Jagan, Mithya, when we are fed up with these material varieties, we try to enter into the impersonal Brahma. But even in the impersonal Brahma, when there is want of varieties, then again we come back to these material varieties. Therefore, we see so many learned scholars, sannyasis, they give up these material varieties as Mithya, and enter into the impersonal Brahma, but without variety there, they come again to the material variety for opening schools and hospitals. This is the fact. So, arujya kritchena parang padam tata patanti adha. Because they have no information of the spiritual varieties in the Vaikuntha planet, in the Golok Vrindavan planet, they come down. Because there is no bhakti in the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan planets, nobody can enter unless he is a pure devotee. Bhaktyama avijanati javan jaschami tattva. Tatomang tattvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. When one understands Krishna in truth, then he is allowed to enter. Otherwise, he cannot enter. He remains outside. Just like if we have got capacity to enter into the sun planet, then we can enter. Otherwise, we remain in the sunshine. To remain in the sunshine and to enter into the sun planet is not the same thing. Although the sun and the sunshine are light, illumination, still there is difference between the sun and the sunshine. Similarly, impersonal Brahma effulgence and Vaikuntha planet, both of them absolute. But still, Brahma effulgence and entering into the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan planets are not the same. Or in other words, those who are not devotees but impersonalists, they can stay outside the Vaikuntha planet in the Brahma effulgence, but they cannot enter into the Vaikuntha planet. Anadita jusmatangha, because they have not adored or glorified the lotus feet of the Lord. They are not allowed into the Golok Vrindavan or Vaikuntha planet. And they cannot remain perpetually in the impersonal Brahma effulgence. They come down again to this material variety. Arujyakritchena param padam tata patanti adha. They cannot go upwards. They come down. That we have practically seen. All big swamis, all Vedantis. But they could not find. Even big swamis, they are now taking to Bhagavat and other Vaishnava literature at the present moment. Because their own literature is finished. How long they will simply call for Brahma? Unless they come to Krishna, there is no varieties of enjoyment. Therefore, here it is said that there is no one only.
No preventing one's falling down from material happiness. And there's every chance of falling down from a spiritual happiness right out of identifying oneself with the intention of happiness.
So every chance of falling down from the spiritual happiness. That spiritual happiness, nirbhed brahmanu sandhan, nirbhed, without any distinction. And that is not real Brahma happiness. Brahma happiness means that there must be distinction. The distinction means Krishna is predominator and everyone is predominator. Just like the gopis. Krishna is the predominator and the gopis and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the cowherd boys, servants, trees, plants, flowers, water, animals, cows, everyone is predominator. Krishna is only predominator. That is real happiness. Whenever there is any trouble in Vrindavan, they approach the predominator and immediately the predominator takes care and they are happy. This is Vrindavan life. As soon as there are torrents of rain, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they approach Krishna to give them protection, and Krishna immediately gave them protection by lifting Govardhan Hill. So they were confident that Krishna is there. They did not know Krishna as God. They simply loved Krishna, and they were confident that so long Krishna is there, we are happy, we are out of danger. That is the conviction of the Vrindavan Vasi. They simply concentrate on Krishna. So, from that standard of happiness, nobody falls down. But other spiritual happiness derived from impersonal Brahma effulgence or localized Paramatma connection, because that is not complete connection, complete relationship with the Supreme Brahma, partial, Satchit Ananda, because unless we approach the personality of Godhead, there is no question of Ananda. You can achieve partially Sat Purushan, you can achieve partially Chit Purushan, Sat Chit. But unless you come to the platform Ananda, the real Ananda is with Krishna in the Goloka Vrindavan. There is chance of falling down. One who does not endeavor to approach this platform of Ananda, Anandamaya Vyasa, where everything is simply Ananda. Even the birds and beasts and the flowers and the water, they are also enjoying that blissfulness. So that is required. Kṛta Puṇya Puṇya. As Sukadev Goswami said about the cowherd boy, Kṛta Puṇya Puṇya. Sādhaṁ vijarahu kṛta puṇya puṇya ittaṁ brahma sukhānu bhutyā dāsaṅgatānāṁ paradaivatena māyāsitānāṁ paradārakena sādhaṁ vijarahu kṛta puṇya puṇya. Unless one has accumulated volumes of activities, pious activities, one cannot enter into the Goloka Vrindavan platform and enjoy with Krishna in so many capacities. Shanta, Dasa, Sakha, Vatsalya, Madhurya, Rasa. That is required. Gone.
It has been seen that great Mayavadis or impersonalist sannyasis, very highly educated and almost realized souls, may sometimes take to political activities or to social welfare activities. The reason is that they actually do not derive any ultimate transcendental happiness in the impersonal understanding, and therefore must come down to the material platform and take to such mundane affairs.
The material variety is a perverted reflection of the spiritual variety, as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Urdhva Moolam Adho Shakha. This tree, this material world compared with Ashwattha Vrikha, the root is upwards, and the branches and leaves are downwards. Why? Because it is reflection, chaya or maya. The real tree is in the Vaikuntha planet or in the spiritual world. It is only simply a reflection, just like its sea standing on the bank of reservoir of water, on the bank of a lake or a river, you'll see the tree is reflected downwards. So this description in the 15th chapter of this material world, downwards, urdhamula dhosakha, means this is only a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The real tree is in the spiritual world. The other day, who was asking about this question? Some of our urdhamula madhosakha, who was asking? Gopan, he's not here. All right. So, adhosakha urdhamulam, this means this material, all the varieties, here is also representation of Santaras, Dasaras, Sakharas, Madhujaras, Vatsalaras. Here is also the reflection. We see, just like we are sitting on this ground underneath the tree, this is the earth is serving us in Santaras. Similarly, we have got our servants, that is Dasaras. We have got our friends, that is Sakharas. We have got our parents, that is Vatsalaras, and we have got our lovers also, that is Madhujaras. But it is only reflection. It is compared with the mirage, just as the desert, there is reflection of water. Actually, there is no water. Similarly, all this perverted reflection of Santaras, Dasaras, Sakharas, this is just like mirage. It is simply a reflection. It has no actual fact. Here, nobody is friend, nobody is servant, nobody is parent, nobody is lover. It is simply a bondage on some self-interest. The servant is not actually serving the master. It is serving the money which the master gives him. As soon as the payment will be stopped, there will be no more service. Therefore, it is a perverted reflection of that service attitude in the Vaikuntha planet. And similarly, we have seen there was high court cases between mother and his sons. And they spent lots of money. Still, they could not come into conclusion. The motherly affection, the paternal affection, they're simply a shadow. It appears to be true because the truth is elsewhere. Just like in the desert, it appears there is a great vast mass of water. But actually there is no water. But that does not mean there is no water. The impression of water is there because there is actually water somewhere. Similarly, we are trying to test the five rasas in this material world, because actually these rasas are there in the spiritual world. This is only reflection. Udhamula dhusakha. And because in the spiritual world it is a fact, we are taking these false things as fact. These temporary things as fact. Actually it is not fact. Go on.
There are many instances, especially in India, where these Mayavadi sannyasis ascend to the material platform again. But a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness will never return to any sort of material platform. However alluring and attracting they may be, he always knows that no material welfare activities can be compared with the spiritual activity of Krishna consciousness. Mystic perfections achieved by actually successful yogis are eight in number. Onimasiddhi refers to the power by which one can become so small that he can enter into a stone. Modern scientific improvements also enable us to enter into stone because they provide for excavating so many subways, penetrating the hills, etc. So Onimasiddhi, the mystic perfection of trying to enter into stone, has also been achieved by material science. Similarly, all of the yoga siddhis, or perfections, are material arts.
The yoga siddhis, they're simply material arts. Just like one example is given, that Onimasiddhi. Onimasiddhi means to enter into the stone. So, we see in the Western countries, they are boring big, big hills and entering in the stone. So, that Onimasiddhi is being possible, is made possible by modern scientific researches. So all these siddhis, astasiddhi, anima, laghima, prapti, prakama, ishita, avashita, these all siddhis are material. They are not spiritual. But people do not know what is spiritual perfection. They become amazed by seeing some magic by these yogic arts. They are simply material arts. One.
For example, in one yoga city, there is development of the power to become so light that one can float in the air or on water. That is also being performed by modern scientists. They are flying in the air, they are floating on the surface of the water, and they are traveling under the water. After comparing all these mystic yoga siddhis to materialistic perfections, it is found that the material scientists try for the same perfection. So actually, there is no difference between mystic perfection and materialistic perfection. A German scholar once said that the so-called yoga perfections have already been achieved by the modern scientists, and so he was not concerned with them. He intelligently went to India to learn how he could understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord by means of bhakti yoga, devotional service.
So therefore, bhakti yoga is the greatest science. Other things, the yogic perfections, can be achieved by the materialist scientist. So, that is not very great art. The greatest art to learn is how to learn bhakti yoga and understand Krishna. Bhaktyamam abhijana. Evam prasanna manasu bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jaya. When one is freed from material contamination, then one can understand the science of bhakti yoga. So, somewhere or other, if we try to understand bhakti yoga, that is the greatest science, that is to learn. If you actually want to learn something greatest in the scientific world, that is bhakti yoga. Go on.
Of course, in the categories of mystic perfection, there are certain processes which the material scientists have not yet been able to develop. For instance, a mystic yogi can enter into the sun planet simply by using the rays of the sunshine. This perfection is called Lakshima. Similarly, a yogi can touch the moon with his finger. Though the modern astronauts go to the moon with the help of spaceships, they undergo many difficulties, whereas a person with mystic perfection can extend his hand and touch the moon with his finger. This siddhi is called prapti, or acquisition. With this prapti siddhi, the perfect mystic yogi can not only touch the moon planet, but he can extend his hand everywhere and take whatever he likes. He may be sitting thousands of miles away from a certain place, and, if he likes, he can take fruit from a garden there. This is called prapti siddhi. The modern scientists have manufactured nuclear weapons with which they can destroy an insignificant part of this planet. But by the yoga siddhi known as Ishita, one can create and destroy an entire planet simply at will. Another perfection is called Voshita, and by this perfection, one can bring anyone under his control. This is a kind of hypnotism which is almost irresistible. Sometimes it is found that a yogi who may have attained a little perfection in his Voshita mystic power comes out among the people and speaks all sort of nonsense, controls their minds, exploits them, takes their money, and then goes away. There is another mystic perfection which is known as Prakamya, or magic. By this Prakamya power, one can achieve anything he likes. For example, one can make water enter into his eye and then again come out from within the eye. Simply by his will, he can perform such wonderful activities. The highest perfection of mystic power is called Kama Vasita. This is also magic, but whereas the Prakamya power acts to create wonderful effects within the scope of nature, Kama Vasayata permits one to contradict nature, in other words, to do the impossible. Of course, one can achieve great amounts of temporary happiness by achieving such yogic materialistic perfection.
Krishna is called Yogeshwara. He is also the master of all yogic mystic power. Therefore, the bhakta, a true devotee of Krishna, he does not endeavor personally to achieve all these yogic mystic power. He depends on Krishna, and if there is necessity of exhibiting some yogic power, Krishna will show. Krishna will exhibit. Jatra Yogeshwara Hari. So, although Arjuna did not manifest any yogic power, but by Krishna's grace, everything was so wonderfully performed in the battle of Kurukshetra. Otherwise, Arjuna was an insignificant warrior in front of Bhishma, Karna, Dronacharya. This is admitted by Maharaj Parikshit, that it is simply by the grace of Krishna that his grandfather came out victorious in front of Bhishma, Karna, Dronacharya and similar great heroes. So, if any heroic action has to be shown, the devotee does not endeavor separately for showing such heroic manifestation, because it depends on Krishna. If there is ni, then Krishna also, nimitta matra bhava sabbasasi. Actually, the battlefield was conducted by Krishna, and he owned the victory, but officially, historically, it is said that Arjuna owned the victory. So, a devotee does not require to acquire all the talents, how to own victory. Krishna will do that business. A devotee has only surrender sincerely unto the lotus feet of Krishna, then everything will be done wonderfully. Thank you very much.
Foolishly, people who are enamored of the glimmer of modern materialistic advancements are thinking that the Krishna consciousness movement is for less intelligent men. I am better off being busy with my material comforts, maintaining a nice apartment, family, and sex life. These people do not know that at any moment they can be kicked out of their material situation. Due to ignorance, they do not know that real life is eternal. The temporary comforts of the body are not the goal of life, and it is due only to darkest ignorance that people become enamored of the glimmering advancements of material comforts. And therefore says that the advancement of material knowledge renders a person more foolish because it causes one to forget his real identification by its glimmer.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings, Jaravidya sa mayara vaibha. This advancement of material education means advancement of the snares of the illusory energy of Krishna, mayara vaibha. Because we are already enamored by the glimmer of this material world, just like the insects are attracted by the fire. They, with great force, enter into the fire without knowing that he is going to die. His forceful entrance into the fire means his sure death. Actually, we are seeing, especially in the Western countries, these motor car civilizations, when he run on the motor car, especially at high speed, it is always he thinks that any moment danger can take place. You remember you are driving your father's car 80 miles, so I ask him, don't go so fast. So, the materialistic way of life is that we create some so-called comforts of life for temporary enjoyment, but at the same time we take the risk of so many dangerous conditions. In the Shastra it is said that this place is padang padang jada vipadang. In every step there is danger. Although we are trying to mitigate all kinds of discomforts, it is simply changing the burden from head to the shoulder. Just like a coolie carrying some burden, when he feels uncomfortable, he changes the burden from head to the shoulder. But actually, that is not mitigating the pains of burden. Similarly, we are trying to get material comfort by manufacturing or inventing so many scientific discoveries, but that is not actually getting happiness. It is simply changing the position. Exactly, you just consider in your country especially, you have got many motor cars, but riding on motor cars, how much dangerous conditions you accept, everyone accept. So this kind of changing the course of discomfort, actually it is a place for discomfort. You cannot expect real comfort within this material world. It is a place because Krishna himself certifies this place. Dukkhalayam asasat. It is a place for miserable condition of life. Now, how you can make it a happy place? That is not possible. So our attempt to make us happy, the example is given, just like to take the heavy burden from head to the shoulder. That's all. Changing the place. Now, we are creating so many problems, you know. You have got many cars, many roads, but still you have to construct highways or flyways, one road after another, one road after another. Still there is congestion, still there is accident. So in this way, we cannot be comfortable. This is a vain endeavor. Durasayaji bahiratha manina. They are unnecessarily, hopelessly trying to become happy within this material world. And people, the so-called scientists, so-called advancement of material education, means, now the scientists say that they have finished their business, they have no more to discover. But the discomforts of life still is there, as it was 200 years ago. Still, I think it is more acute now than 200 years ago. So in this way, we cannot. The another example is that just like we dream something dangerous, a tiger is coming, a snake is coming. Sometimes we want to change to another sort of dream. Those who have got practical experience. Dreaming another dream in dream. Similarly, our attempt, so-called attempt to become comfortable in this material world and manufacturing some ways of comfort, it is simply useless endeavor. Because such kind of artificial endeavoring will not make us happy. Real happiness is as we are trying to manufacture so many things, as Krishna says, real happiness is there. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam saranam. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Samasthitam ji padapallabam plavam. Mahat padam punna jasu mudha. That is required. We have to take shelter of Mukunda, Murari, Krishna. Then we'll be happy. Gone.
Life is meant for getting out of the material contamination. By the advancement of material knowledge, people are becoming more and more entangled in material existence. They have no hope of being liberated from this catastrophe. In the Hari Bhakti Kodaya, it is stated that Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed to Nrsimhadeva, the half-lion, half-man incarnation, as follows. Quote, "My dear Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all the other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence." The pure devotee does not aspire after any of these perfections, because the happiness derived from devotional service in Krishna consciousness is so transcendental and so unlimited that no other happiness can be compared with it. It is said that even one drop of happiness in Krishna consciousness stands beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. Thus, any person who has developed even a little quantity of pure devotional service can very easily kick out all the other kinds of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation.
Dharma, tattva, moksha. There are, people are generally after four principles of happiness, being religious, being economically developed, being very good candidate for satisfying senses, and when one is frustrated to derive any happiness from these three principles, he wants liberation, nidbhed brahmanusandha. That is also not actual happiness, because as I was explaining this morning, that even one merges into the Brahma effulgence after severe penances and austerity, there is chance of falling down. There is chance. Arujya kichena parang padang tata patanti. Parang pada is to merge into the Brahma effulgence existence. But from there also one falls down. As I was giving the example of many big sannyasis in the modern age, they are very learned scholars. They took to sannyas, giving up this world as false. But again, after some time, they come to politics, sociology. That means there is a fall down, because they could not actually test the Brahma. Brahmananda, for which they sacrifice everything. So, Brahmananda is not such a thing that one will come again to this false platform which they rejected as Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. If Jagat is Mithya, then why such exalted person who gave up everything for Brahmananda? That means they could not test Brahmananda, therefore they failed out.
There was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, known as Kulavecha Sridhar, who was a very poor man. He was doing a small business selling cups made from the leaves of plantain trees, and his income was almost nothing. Still, he was spending 50% of his small income on the worship of the Ganges, and with the other 50% he was somehow living. Lord Chaitanya once revealed himself to this confidential devotee, Kulavecha Sridhar, and offered him any opulence that he liked.
Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered this Kulavecha Sridhar, wanted to benedict him with any kinds of benediction he wanted. But he said, I am quite happy, wandering.
Sridhar informed the Lord that he did not want any material opulence. He was quite happy in his present position and wanted only to gain unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. That is the position of the pure devotee. If they can be engaged 24 hours each day in devotional service, they do not want anything else, not even the happiness of liberation or of becoming one with the Supreme. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is also said that any person who has developed even a small amount of devotional service doesn't care a fig for any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or the five kinds of liberation.
Dharma artha kama kama moksha samaya pratiksha mukti mukulita anjali sevati asma. For a devotee, mukti is not a thing aspirable, because as it is stated by Billamangal Thakur, mukti is trying to serve the devotee with folded hands. Because a devotee is already liberated. Sagunan samatitta itan brahma bhuyayakal. A pure devotee who is constantly engaged in devotional service, maya cannot touch him. He is already liberated. So, what he has got to ask from the liberty? He hasn't got to ask. Anywhere a devotee lives, he is liberated. That is the statement of Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha jasya hare dasi karmana manasa vacha. Anyone who is simply engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by his activities, karmana, by his mind and by his words, such person is always liberated in any condition of life. He has a sharir das. Simply, we have to engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord. Then, maya metan taranti, one who has surpassed the boundaries of maya, he is liberated. He is already liberated. Why he should aspire after liberation? He is already liberated. Go on.
Any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, liberation, or sense gratification cannot even dare to enter into the heart of a pure devotee. It is stated that as the personal attendants and maid servants of a queen follow the queen with all respect and obeisance, similarly, the joys of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation follow the devotional service of the Lord. In other words, the pure devotee does not lack any kind of happiness derived from any source. He does not want anything but service to Krishna. But even if he should have another desire, the Lord fulfills this without the devotee's asking.
Yes. Generally, a devotee is annavilasita sunnam. Jnana karmadhanabhritam. He is simply engaged to serve the Lord as he desires, just like Arjuna did. Other things follow. Just like a child who takes shelter of the father without any demand, the father sees to his necessities of life. Yoga chimam baham. Krishna, one who is fully surrendered unto Krishna, and is engaged in his devotion and service, he would see what is the necessity of his life, what does he require. Yoga chemang bahama. This is the process. Go on.
Your devotional service. In the preliminary phase of spiritual life, there are different kinds of austerities, penances, and similar processes for attaining self-realization. However, even if an executor of these processes is without any material desire, he still cannot achieve devotional service. And aspiring by oneself alone to achieve devotional service is also not very hopeful, because Krishna does not agree to award devotional service to merely anyone. Krishna can easily offer a person material happiness or even liberation, but he does not agree very easily to award a person engagement in his devotional service.
This is very confidential. To attain Krishna's service, that is not so easy. You can get liberation if you want from Krishna. Krishna can give very easily, or any material opulence. But to give engagement in devotional service, that requires very sincerity, as it is stated by Rupa Goswami, annavilasita sunnam. People generally go to temple and churches for mitigating some material wants. Artho arthat, jignyasi jnani. Artho arthat, generally people go to Krishna to mitigate some material distresses. Artho, or one who is in need of money. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he went to Krishna. He went to worship Krishna under the instruction of his mother in the forest with a desire to achieve the kingdom of his father, or better kingdom than his father. That was his aspiration. But later on, when he actually met the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, my dear Lord, I have no other aspiration. I am completely satisfied. Shamin kithathosmi barang na jat. So this is the advantage of worshipping Krishna. Even one has got some material desires. That material desires will be fulfilled. At the same time, he shall become a pure devotee, just like Dhruva Maharaj became. He went to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fulfillment, for fulfilling his material desires. But because he engaged himself in severe austerity and penances for having darshan or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he saw him actually, he forgot all his material desires. That is the advantage. We need not go to any other demigod for fulfilling our material desires. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udarodhi. Vibrena bhakti yogi na jajita paramantus. Even if you have material desires, still you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will fulfill your material desires and at the end will give shelter at his lotus feet. This is the advantage of devotion and service. Whereas if you worship other demigods, you may get some temporary benefit, but at the end the benefit will be finished, he will be finished, and the demigod who has given you the benediction, he will also finish. Antabhattu phalam tesham tada bhavati alpamedhasam. Therefore, the conclusion is, even if we have got material desires, generally a devotee has no material desire, like pure devotee, anna vilasita sunnam. But even one has got some material desires to fulfill. If he worships Krishna, that desires will be fulfilled at the same time, he will get shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the advantage.